Hello, my audio boo friends. It is April 1st. And for many people, it's April Fool's. And I don't know what to expect today. I was listening to the news and they didn't have anything that looked, I would have suspected as being an April Fool's joke. The only thing was, and I can't remember where I saw this, but there was a story going around that the world's time coordinates were going to be all screwed up because they had decided to move the prime meridian from Greenwich to Paris. I mean, when I read that line, I laughed. I said, okay, definitely an April Fool's joke. But, I don't know. I guess I'm going to have to watch my back. Now, what's the statute of limitations for April Fool's? It's noon, isn't it? Yeah, you can only do April Fool's jokes up to noon. After that, it's terra non grata. It's, it bounces back on you. Bad karma, I suppose. So yesterday I left an audio boo on my way to do some grocery shopping on Neil Young's Pono. That's what it was called, I forgot. The Pono player, the audio, this amazing audio player that's supposed to blow the doors off of the entire music industry. And I don't know, I was wrong though about one thing. It does have a screen. And the unit, from what I could tell, I tried to look at pictures to gauge the size of this thing, but it looks, the shape of it is a little bit like a, and this is what I don't understand, because I couldn't get a good angle on it to get a clear idea of what they were talking about. But in some of the descriptions that I've seen in reviews in other websites, they keep talking about the Toblerone player, because it's shaped like a Toblerone bar, like a big chocolate bar, like triangular. So I'm not really sure. They say it doesn't fit very well in a pocket. So it's a portable player, but it's not that portable. And I don't know, honestly, I'm still questioning this whole thing. So what I decided to do yesterday, and I posted this on Google Plus, is I've taken a CD. I've got a remastered CD of a 1978 LP that came out, that was done by Tony Banks, called A Curious Feeling. Now, those of you who have keen memories and have been listening to my octavers over the years know that, to me, A Curious Feeling was a landmark album. I practically grew up on that LP, listening to it over and over and over again. And when at its, I think it was its 30th anniversary, they remastered it and put it out as a high quality CD. So what I've done is I downloaded a FLAC ripper or encoder called, FRE:AC, believe it or not, that's exactly what it's called. And it's for the Mac, for OS X. And I downloaded it yesterday, and I ripped the entire CD to FLAC, and checked the sizes, and I made sure that there was the least compression possible. So the best possible sound quality I can get out of those FLAC files. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to do an actual test and comparison between the original CD and the FLAC files. And I'm going to also rip it at a 320 kilobit MP3 rate to see how MP3 stacks up with the FLAC. Now, obviously, anything lower than 320 on an MP3 will start showing artifacts. So I'm just going to stay at the 320. But, I mean, this is going to take me a while. I even posted that on Google Plus. It'll probably take me something like a week and a half to do all this, sort of sit there. And I'm going to grab my earbuds, my Polk audio earbuds that I bought recently, and I've got a nice pair of Sennheiser headphones, and I'm going to listen to it also in the car, because that's one of the places the Pono player supposedly was shining, you know, outshone everything else. And you had all these people, all these artists coming out of the cars, supposedly, after having heard this music. And they're all raving, oh, that was the best music I've ever heard. And that music's never moved me like that. And some of these are 70-year-old musicians that probably have, you know, a frequency response in their ears of, maybe 400 hertz to about 5,000 hertz. Their hearing is probably shot. Most musicians, especially the older ones that played a lot of concerts, I'm sure that their hearing isn't up to snuff anymore. You know, had they had some sound engineers come out of the car and say, wow, that was, you know, that was interesting, or that sounded really great. And also, I noticed one thing, they hardly showed anybody actually sitting in the car. Everybody had just stepped out of the car. And, okay, let's backtrack for a second. Any audiophile worth his weight knows that a car interior is probably one of the worst places to listen to music. If you're going for realism, if you're going for 3D spatial placement, the speakers are all wrong. The distance is all wrong. The materials, I mean, you got plastic, reverbs, you got probably standing waves from the, you know, if you're listening to a car with speakers on the rear deck, I'm sure the ceiling is absorbing sound, the back window's reflecting sound. Honestly, and in essence, if you're trying to recreate, if you're trying to recreate the experience of what a sound engineer intended, well, that's really kind of difficult, because in many cases, when you have, you know, a drum, bass, guitar, singer, maybe, I don't know, maybe keyboards, it doesn't really lend itself to any kind of spatial orientation. So, see, that's where the other side fails. And again, I have a very good friend of mine who was commenting on this, and he said, well, maybe they just remastered a whole bunch of old records or old songs specifically to be played on the Pono. Well, if that's the case, then I'd like to take any music I have, anything at all, in different genres, classical music, jazz music, soul music, chamber music, and throw it at the Pono in a situation where, you know, let's compare, you know, apples and apples. So if we're listening to chamber music or an orchestral suite, well, let's place the speakers, you know, 10 to 12 feet apart, roughly 3.5 to 4 feet off the floor, about 3 feet off of any adjacent wall. Let's get some carpeting up to kill any standing waves. Let's prepare the room properly, and then let's really listen to what we hear and compare that to an analog LP played on a very, very high level turntable with maybe a Class A amplifier that, you know, does not color the sound, and play that on what? What kind of speakers would you play that on? Bookshelves? No. Floor standings? Well, unless they're, you know, B&Ws or something, and that's B&W, not BMW. You really wouldn't get a true flavor of the sound. Electroacoustics? I don't know. Those are amazing. Quad used to make those years ago, but again, on the bass response. So, you know, there's so many factors. Anyway, I just thought I'd open this up for discussion. You got any comments? Let's hear some audio boosts from all my audio-loving people out there. Okay, thanks for listening.